Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. You are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined as always by Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing today?
Good. Will, how are you? How's your weekend?
It was a weekend. That is most certainly true. The weather was great, so I can't complain about that. Was able to get outside a little bit. Even went to the driving range. I'm not a big golfer, but the weather was too nice not to enjoy it. So wanted to go hit a couple golf balls around. You know how it'd be.
You almost seemed thrown off by the idea that I would ask you how your weekend was on a Monday.
I'm a little offended.
You're just like, oh, whoa, yeah, that's right. That happened. Oh, yeah, okay. Today is Monday. Cool. We got our bearings.
You caught me off guard with that question, Luke. I can't lie. Aaron, on the boards. Aaron, how was your weekend? I'll throw it back at you now since Luke really took that one to me.
My weekend was fine. I'm packing to move on Thursday. So I hate packing and moving and all that crap, as I'm sure most people do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The moving absolutely just is one of the worst things. So we wish you the best there, Aaron. But Will,
gotta get it done though. Gotta get it done.
Absolutely. Well, let's catch back up from where we were on Friday.
So on Friday we extensively covered the Wisconsin state budget and the massive tax giveaway elected Republicans are planning to begin doing. And we're going to continue that conversation later in the show when we're joined by our guest, Senator Chris Larson. If you have a question for Chris Larson about the budget, give us a call, 844-967-2789. So that'll be on at about 12:30 at the second segment of the show. But for now, because we had such a great show on Friday, we weren't able to do my personal favorite segment because I came up with it totally by myself with no help from Luke whatsoever. The headlines of the week. If you had a great headline, save it for next Friday because we'll be dropping headlines of the week once again. But we did have some headlines from last Friday that we wanted to touch on. And we're 1-1 right now, Luke. I have come to accept
that's what the scoreboard
Aaron's
says.
Decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've come to terms with it.
I'm frustrated. Don't get me wrong. And I will definitely be remembering that come Christmas time when it's time to get Aaron a nice card or something. But. It happened. He made the decision, and I'll stick with that. So, Luke, I would like to graciously allow you to go first this week as the defending champion. Please present your best Wisconsin headline of the week.
Okay, so this is my most Wisconsin headline of the week because, like a lot of things Wisconsin, we get underrated when it comes to the great things that we're doing. And so this one I found last week over at our friends upnorthnewswi.com, upnorthnews, had the piece, Wisconsin Farmers Market ranks among the top 10 nationally. And then they had to throw a little clickbait in there as well, noting, and it's not Dane County's. And so an underrated farmers market here in Wisconsin cracking into the top 10 nationally. And you got any guesses, Will, of which farmers market around the great state of Wisconsin broke into that national ranking for top 10? And it's not Dane County's, because the headline lets you
Dane
know.
It's not Dane County's. Interesting. You know, I love going to the farmers market in Germantown, particularly because it's at the public library. And as you know, I stand public libraries on this show, but I don't think it's that because it's not very large. So I'm not going to go with Germantown. Can I get any more hints or do I just have to kind of like throw one out there?
I'm not going to give you any more hints, but I'll read from the piece. And if people want to guess, they can, 844-967-2789. But the piece goes through, after scoring more than 1,500 farmers markets across all 50 states, on their average Google rating, number of views, and product variety, the site Holidu, H-O-L-I-D-U, Holidu, it's a vacation search engine, published the top 10, and this Wisconsin Farmers Market breaking in with that number 10 spot with a score of 7.14, not Dane County, the downtown Beloit Farmers Market. And that is the that best rated. That was your guess? Oh, okay. Sure. Sure. that is the best rated Wisconsin farmers market, according to this ranking site, beating out Dane County. But it's the fact that the Beloit market is year round, bringing the best of Wisconsin's local farm products to shoppers. The analyst wrote, "You can find seasonal produce and other wonderful products like locally produced honey, the finest cheese and cheese spreads, and wild-caught seafood." So Beloit's downtown farmers market breaking into that top 10 ranking nationally around the entire United States. And that's pretty cool. So underrated, obviously. Because I feel like Wisconsin goes a little underrated sometimes, and that was my most Wisconsin headline of the week last week, Will.
Hey, that's a travel destination. I love me a good farmer's market. I love shopping local, and if we had the opportunity, when you have the opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. That's a good headline, Luke.
Let's hear yours, Will.
Well, I'm going to throw multiple ones at the wall and hope that that my quantity.
It's rapid fire. It's rapid fire time that Will's going to take that strategy on. Okay.
So I found a little piece from northnewspaper.com, which I'm not familiar with, but I thought it was interesting because I saw the word Wisconsin, and I love the word Wisconsin. I light up at any mention of Wisconsin. Wisconsin's toy wholesale hub top market finds. When it comes to buying wholesale toys, one of the best places to look is Wisconsin. The state is home to a thriving toy wholesale industry with a wide variety of markets and brands to choose from. Whether you're a toy store owner looking to stock up or a parent looking for affordable gifts, Wisconsin should be at the top of your list. This goes to what you were just saying, Luke, underrated for a lot of situations that might not necessarily be the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the state. I know buying toys wholesale was not my first thought when I considered the state of Wisconsin.
Well, when we do this little competition each week, do you just go to Google and type in most Wisconsin headline, and then how does it work for you?
Of course not. That's ridiculous. I go to ChatGPT and type in most Wisconsin headline.
Okay.
It's 2023, Luke. Get with the times. This is the future. No, I, you know, you're scrolling through Twitter, you're scrolling through through Reddit, maybe I'm on Facebook. I see something that catches my eye. You know, people of Wisconsin, we're proud people. We know we have an awesome state here. It's incredibly unique. There's so much to do here that you really can't find anywhere else in the country. And we really have a pretty unique culture, I think. And we take pride in the fact that we're Wisconsinites. And, you know, we have that Midwestern nice, but we also have the best beer, brats, and cheese in the world. And
apparently wholesale toys as well.
Well, the article goes on to say buying wholesale toys in Wisconsin comes with several benefits. For one, you'll have access to a wide variety of toy markets, each with its own unique offerings, meaning you can find toys that cater to your niche, whether it's educational, outdoors, toys for babies and toddlers, affordability, quality, reliability. Like this just screams like, hey, toy shoppers, come to the state of Wisconsin. Evidently, we're home to a plethora of toy markets, such as Castle Toys, located in Beaver Dam, family-owned toy store that specializes in unique and educational toys. KB Toy Outlet, is a chain of toy stores with locations including Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. Toy Time in Appleton, Toy World throughout Wisconsin. I mean, this is just the Garden of Eden when it comes to toys. Like, we got toys left and right. Young me would have loved it. I don't know why my parents never informed me that we were the toy capital of the world. Unless it's a recent development, I'm not sure.
I would not know. I do not keep an eye on those toy markets, those wholesale markets for toys.
Well, that'll be your homework for this week then, Luke, is get your ear to the ground. I want to hear, I want to have a report on the wholesale toy industry in the state of Wisconsin.
I'll get right on that, Will. I'll bump that up to the top of the priority list.
Find me the best prices for Lincoln Logs and or Paw Patrol toys.
Ooh.
Okay.
I think Aaron's trying to get us to do his
uncle homework. That's what that sounds like. Those sounded like specific requests from some nieces or nephews on Aaron's part.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I do have four brands that were specifically listed as popular toy brands that really pop in the state of Wisconsin, which is Melissa and Doug. I can't say I'm familiar with them. Crayola, everybody knows. Lego, everybody knows. And Fisher-Price, everybody knows. But I'm not seeing Lincoln Logs, Aaron, so I apologize. They might have to settle for a Millennium Falcon Lego set.
Believe,
you know,
Melissa,
I'd be okay with that. I might keep it for myself.
I was going to say, if they don't want it, send it my way. I will build that. I am more than happy to oblige.
There you go. Well, I'm feeling pretty confident. My Beloit Farmers Market top 10 ranking beats your toy wholesale this week. But
I'm not done, Luke. I'm not done, because I told you I came prepared with multiple angles. So I
quantity
caught a little,
over quality. Quantity over quality is the strategy Will is taking.
That is my strategy this week. I caught a image from a Kenosha Kingfish game on the scoreboard. They have the, I don't know if it's during the seventh inning or if it's just occasionally throughout the game, but this was just Wisconsin. I got a great image of it from a friend of mine, Cheese Chuck. Minor league baseball game in Wisconsin where they throw cheese into the crowd. Come on, not a headline, but that is about as Wisconsin as it gets, and I refuse to believe that could possibly lose. I also found a fun little tidbit. I mentioned to you before the show, blast from the past. We're going to be going a little bit a couple years ago for this story, and I saw a thread on Reddit noting that there is a significantly higher level of roadkill, and basically the question being posed was, I drive throughout the Midwest, why is it that I seem to find significantly more roadkill in Wisconsin than in Minnesota or Michigan or Iowa or Illinois? So I went back and dug, and I found a Wisconsin Public Radio article from October of 2017. Agencies work to keep clearing roadkill among funding changes. The DOT taking over for the DNR after the state budget zeroed the budget for deer removal program. Surprise, surprise, the Wisconsin budget. And remember, this would have been pre-Tony Evers, who was originally who was elected in 2018. That means that Scott Walker cutting the budget, didn't want to give enough funding for the DNR to be able to properly keep roadkill off of our roads. And in this situation, the 2017 to 2019 budget it added $30 million to the DOT's highway maintenance fund while completely cutting the DNR's contract with local governments and the private sector to make sure roadkill was properly removed from roads and disposed of. So if you're wondering why you are seeing more roadkill, there you go. Comes back to Scott Walker, as the vast majority of issues in the state seem to be doing
that. All right, apparently it's a 3-1. I didn't know that I needed to bring more than one story with me to most Wisconsin headline of the week. But Aaron, you got a winner for this delayed version from last week?
This is very tough, because 3-1, is that cheating? Cheese Chuck?
No.
That's not a headline, but I love it. So, I mean, the Cheese Chuck and Scott Walker zeroing out something that we need are very Wisconsin, but so is a farmer's market in Wisconsin being the number one, or not number one.
In the top 10. Yeah,
in the top
10
across
one.
The nation. I think since we only have 20 seconds, I'm going to have to announce it next segment.
Okay, you'll have to deliberate, and we'll get a verdict coming up. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We got Aaron Zommers on the board. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by State Senator Chris Larson coming up next.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We are joined today by State Senator Chris Larson, and we're going to jump to Chris as soon as I get an answer from Aaron, because I need to know, Aaron, who won the headlines of the week.
All right, after much deliberation, the council has come to a decision. It's going to Luke. And the reason for that, I know Will's going to be very upset.
One solid headline is better than three mediocre headlines. There you go,
Will. I would not
say
they're mediocre.
Mediocre? Put some respect on those headlines.
One of them wasn't even a headline, you said. It was a Reddit post. That doesn't count as the most Wisconsin headline of the week.
It was an image of the Cheese Chuck, and that's Wisconsin.
See, that's where I'm at, is it's an image, and we're a radio program. So that was my favorite, but it's... like, you can describe it, but it is fundamentally incompatible.
See,
I gotta print it out and put it on my wall behind me is what I'm hearing for next time.
You brought a visual component to an audio medium. Sorry, bud.
I dropped the ball. Even with my great retro reference, we're going 6 year blast from the past, and I still can't seem to pull one out. I don't know what I got to do to get a win around here. I feel like I'm getting ganged up on.
Now, the reason for that one is because, yes, that's a very Wisconsin thing, but I'm hopeful for the future that that won't be such a Wisconsin thing anymore now that we have Tony Evers.
Well,
there you go.
I guess hope is a powerful emotion. So I guess I just got to find better headlines is what I'm hearing. Or maybe I just got to like dig into what Luke is going to do and steal it again, because that worked for me pretty well the first time.
let's get back to it.
Anyways, we're jumping into Wisconsin budget, and we are joined today by my friend, State Senator Chris Larson. Chris, you have been on the front lines of this issue now for weeks through deliberation, and I got to ask from the get-go, what has it been like seeing firsthand how these negotiations have played out, and what is your take on what is most likely to be the final result?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on and be a part of the show. I think the first thing before I answer your question, I think it's immensely important to point out the fact that we have a $7 billion surplus here in the state of Wisconsin. $7 billion surplus, right? And so I think, you know, this is kind of the if you won the lottery type situation for most households. So the things where we were having to say, okay, we can't afford, you know, we can't afford to go to fill the cart at the grocery store, that we can't afford to be able to, you know, switching the analogy over to the state, right? Can't afford, we were saying for years, we can't afford to fund K-12 education, we can't afford our university system. But now the $7 billion is there, so it's a matter of, yes, we can finally invest in these things. And frankly, when this started out way back when there was still snow on the ground in January, there was a realistic expectation that everyone can get what they want out of this deal. Like, every side should be happy. I mean, if there's $7 billion to be spent, right, there are movies made about figuring out, having complete strangers figure out how to spend that money and how to invest it, right? But in this case, I think that that's worth mentioning, because unfortunately with the Republican majority in our state, they continue to pretend that $7 billion just doesn't exist. And frankly, continue to walk around like the Monopoly man with their pockets turned inside out and say, oh gosh, you know, everybody's got to tighten their budgets, we can't invest in these things. And so it's been strange to have that dichotomy, right? It's like going around in, you know, where it's completely sunny outside and then being in rain gear with umbrellas and saying like, oh no, you know, sorry, you can't enjoy this. You have to suffer. You have to suffer for no reason at all. So it's been quite frustrating overall. And then as the final details came out in the last week, where we've seen this huge tax cut, $3.5 billion punted over to the rich. You know, most of the people who are going to benefit from this are the richest people in the state. It's kind of maddening because of the where we could have been, right? Where we could have invested in things that everybody cared about, both Democratic and Republican priorities, and instead we're getting this, where it's just supposed to be just for those who are doing well already. Everyone else has to suffer, right? Cut to universities, shortchanging our K-12 education system, shutting down a quarter of the childcare facilities in the state, and what that would mean for our state if that goes forward.
Mm-hmm. And remember, as we noted on Friday, that Wisconsinites making between $60,000 and $70,000 per year, which is around the state's median household income, they would see an 11.6% decrease in their net tax liability, but that amounts to about $250 on average. The income bracket with the smallest percentage decrease, making between $25,000 and $30,000, would save about 15%. While the higher income earners are estimated to save an average of between $2,500 and up to like $80,000 per year. So you talk about, yes, taxes are being cut across the board, but who is benefiting much more so than anybody else? It's the highest income earners in the state.
Right. Right, exactly. There's a little bit for most, but there's a whole heck of a lot for the people who already have a whole heck of a lot, is I think the easiest way to summarize it.
And I got to note as well that with progressive tax brackets, remember that if you cut all four income tax rates, the top earners are getting four tax cuts. Across each bracket, they are receiving that same percentage tax cut. While the bottom earners particularly if you live in Milwaukee, would be seeing the sales tax increase. That's going to only hurt individuals at the lower income individuals across the state of Wisconsin. It's incredibly unbalanced, but kind of par for the course at this point.
Yeah, right. And I think that's important to recognize, right? We could have, actually Wisconsin has one of the more progressive tax systems in the country. It used to be more so, right? By having additional tax brackets, you could really target of people who are making the most money and have the ability to be able to afford to give back the most so that that other income brackets can do better, right? The American idea of having everyone have a ladder to be able to get up to the top. And unfortunately, this goes the other way, where it kicks that ladder away, right? It throws more money up on the roof, kicks the ladder away for other folks. And at the same time, we're going to institute a sales tax in Milwaukee, most likely, right, if the vote goes through, that'll boost it 2.4%. And sales tax is one of the most regressive forms of taxation. Granted, luckily, we do have a ton of exemptions on the sales tax that people who are in poverty spend a majority of their money on groceries, medicine, doctor's needs. Those are all exempt, rent, but it's still highly regressive and not the direction we should be going. Again, especially in an environment where we have a $7 billion surplus and all of this is wildly unnecessary.
Senator Larson, it strikes me as interesting, to say the least, when it comes to the fact that this $3.5 billion tax cut was one of the final, if not the final, vote made by the Joint Finance Committee, the committee responsible for writing the budget. Can you provide any insight on why that may have been the case? As you point out, there's a feeling of austerity that's going on there. Oh, we have to be very tight on all these finances. We can't afford this program. We can't afford that project. We can't do this investment. And then the final thing on the docket is taking half of that $7 billion surplus that you've mentioned a few times now and turning it into a tax cut.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think they did that on purpose. I think we all kind of knew this is exactly what was going to happen from the beginning and trying to make sure that the public knew about this. Because it was, I think there's a sense, it's like watching a television show, back when television shows were actually on television, not on Netflix, so you can binge the whole series, right? Where it was like you'd kind of tune into the beginning of the season, and then like somewhere in the middle, you kind of lost track. But when the season finale was rolling around, they'd do a ton of promos to make sure people knew. And then to tune back in, because there's been so many different suggestions around this budget, so many different proposals. I think a lot of people just kind of tuned out. And so now we're trying to make sure people are aware this is it, right? This is the season finale for the budget. This is the week where it's going to pass. And so I think they kind of expected that most of the people in the public would have tuned out and just remembered some of the better things that were proposed that are not going to go into law. And in fact, ignore the fact that half of this is going to go to a tax cut, mostly benefiting the rich, at the same time as, you know, child education, K-12 education for public schools will not keep pace with inflation for the 12th year in a row, where we're seeing an actual cut to the university system, right? Something that's a flagship of our state, something that separates us from other communities across the country, where we're actually going to see a cut to that, right? And the child care subsidy being pulled out from underneath families, which has been allowing people to enter the workforce like never before, that false choice was taken away of do you stay home with your kids or do you go to work? This subsidy was able to say, yep, you can actually go have two-parent income once again, because child care is not out of reach. So I think we always knew this was going to come at the end, and I think that there's a significant pushback. I've been receiving it in my office, and I'm sure that's been happening across the state of people saying, don't blow the surplus on the rich.
And the irony, of course, is that Wisconsin Well, unemployment is incredibly low in the state right now. We see a lot of elected officials complaining about the worker shortage. Here, you have a program that allowed more workers to get back into the workforce because they didn't have to worry about childcare, and that has now been gutted. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. Give us a call if you have any questions for Senator Chris Larson, 844-967-2789. We got Mark on the line from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what would you like to ask of Senator Larson?
Yeah, it's interesting that Republicans refuse to finance so much stuff that would be beneficial to the state and give a greater portion of the tax cuts to the people at the very top when they're not going to be the people spending the money. And their complete failure to recognize that investing in a new building at the university, the new engineering school, would bring benefits not only in terms of people working, earning wages, and paying taxes in the process, but also bringing new citizens probably to this state to get an engineering degree. And the rejection of the Wisconsin idea that the whole purpose of education, and I would maintain from before kindergarten to whatever grade level people decide to achieve, is to produce citizens, not just little cogs for whatever machinery the Republicans decide to put them to work in. That it's a fallout from Scott Walker and all the young Republicans that came up and under the tutelage of Tommy Thompson, got too big for their britches, and now they're large and in charge, and they don't think that they have to listen to the people at all. They just think we're going to listen to the Diane Hendricks and the U-Lines and whatever, that.
Do we got a question in here, Mark, for the senator?
The citizens. Yeah, is there anything to be done? I mean, what is wrong with them? I mean, I guess when you get right down to it, what the hell is wrong with them if they can't find basic humanity in themselves?
I appreciate
Go ahead,
question,
Senator.
Mike. Unfortunately, you called you called the wrong Larson. My wife is a psychologist, so she would be the one to talk to about what's going on. Look, I agree with you. I think that there is, I think there's a record, I can hear it in your voice, and I've heard it from a lot in the voices of a lot of my neighbors and people across the state, right? That there's people who are like, well, wait a second, this is not what, this is not what Republicans have said that they stood up for, but something that in most cases we thought was a bipartisan agreement, right? That at the very least, investing in public education was an investment in the future workforce, right? That included K-12, but of course our university system, as much as people are saying we need to make sure we are turning out additional professionals in the state, this one, this one is very clear. The engineering building was one that was lined up because there is a dire need for engineers. And frankly, educating them in the state also means there's a very good likelihood that they're going to stick around, right?
Senator, we got a hard break coming up for the commercial break, but we're going to keep talking to you right after the break. We got a few more questions lined up for you. We're talking with Senator Chris Larson today about the state budget. If you have a question for the senator, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We're talking with State Senator Chris Larson today. If you have a question for the senator, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got Kurt from Rhinelander on the line. Kurt, what is your question for the senator?
Yeah, the question is that 15% straight across the board, wealthy, poor, rich, or what is that percentage based off of for the tax cut break? Hello?
Yep, we can hear you. Hello, Kurt. Yeah, Senator, can you hear us?
Yes, yeah, I can. So, yeah, okay. for the cuts, it changes for everybody, but for the people who are in the lowest income bracket, they receive the smallest. It drops actually just a 0.04% And so then after that, the next income tax bracket, it drops a little bit. So each income tax bracket does see a drop. And those drops range from 3.54% to 76.5%.
I know how the tax works. Wasn't it proposed 50% across the board, though?
No. The tax break that goes for the people. No, the tax break that goes for the people at the top is the biggest. It drops from 7.65 down to 6.5%. So, which is how you see these numbers of, if you're looking at the absolute richest people in the state, of what they are making. This is where their average tax break goes for people making over $30 million. Their tax cut will be $650,000 annual. So compared to the people who are making under $50,000, which is the biggest chunk of people in the state, 900,000 people plus, they'll get $36, right? And so I think there's a tendency, because this is not the flat tax that was being talked about. Frankly, a flat tax it favors people who are making the most. And this is not that. This is just basically a huge giveaway for the people at the top. And as was mentioned, that money is not automatically invested back into the state, right? It's usually hoarded and goes into stock buybacks or to other things, but it's not helping churn the economy and keep things moving forward.
Well, and Senator Larson, correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially the what would be doing is the middle two tax brackets would be consolidated to one. So somebody making $13,810, according to a piece over at Wisconsin Public Radio, would be taxed the same percentage rate as somebody making $304,000. So that would be where that large giveaway is, because those are two drastically different households. Somebody that makes $13,000 a year compared to somebody that makes $304,000 a year, having the same effective tax rate, is what would be the biggest change in this proposal put forth last week.
Right. And that ends up benefiting those who are at the very top the most. Everyone else will get a little bit. It is not, you know, this is making what is a progressive tax system as regressive as possible.
And Kurt, I think where a little bit of the confusion might have been.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Senator.
Yep. No, I was just going to say, and to recognize, right, that this is an abandonment of those things that are in the public good that could help the entirety of the state. We are seeing an aging population. Wisconsin is older than average as far as the country goes. And one of the big problems that we've got is just being able to have access to childcare. And I think that's frankly worth mentioning, because here we are, you know, just 4 days ago, if you take the dollar amount of what was going to go in to help the child care centers, that grand total was $341 million. But if you look at what is going to be spent on tax breaks just for people making over $500,000, that's $367 million. So if you just cut that piece out and said, you know what, the people making over $500,000 a year don't necessarily need a break, but people who are just struggling trying to figure out childcare, that would have actually cost less and affected more people and helped them out in a huge way. And you know, yeah, there's a piece of it that you talk about the workforce, but I think as far as trying to build families and build the reliability and the stability of individual families, as a parent of two kids, yeah, having childcare is a bedrock of making sure that you can have a decent and normal and balanced life. And we're taking that away from too many people if this budget moves forward.
Mm-hmm. I think to answer your question, Kurt, there was a piece from JS Online that noted the plan would reduce the top tax rate of 7.65% to 6.5%, which amounts to a 15% reduction for the top earners in the state who earned as a married couple $405,000 or more annually. So that's where I got the 15% from, if you were asking. Senator, we got one more question for you. Teresa from Lodi asks, do any of those Republicans, I have an understanding of economic development because it seems like they do everything just to crash our economy. People are fleeing the state because of all the things they're cutting that younger people, especially with children, need. How are we able to rectify that cutting of spending with this massive surplus?
Yeah, I mean, we can absolutely invest in the things that people across the state want. You know, there is no reason why this needs to move forward. And frankly, I think it's up to people like Teresa and Lodi to contact her state rep and state senator and say not to vote for this. The vote hasn't happened yet. And I think there's a tendency for a lot of people to just, you know, assume that the die is already cast, right? That the soup is already made. But the reality is it's not, you know? And I think the more that people speak out and share their individual stories and how this affects you and your life, you know, and letting your state rep, your state senator, and the governor know what you would like to see. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people unfortunately give up their power by believing the lie that they don't have any power to begin with. And the more they speak up, the more that we can shape a budget that actually does help people. Otherwise, I can tell you, you know, the people that do get listened to are the people in the $2,000 suits roaming the Capitol this week, you know, getting the ear of lawmakers and pretending that they speak for anybody but the very wealthy people who sign their paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Senator Larson. Where can the people find you at? Give yourself a quick shout out here.
Sure. Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I don't have my handles memorized, but if people search Chris Larson, it's it's the one from Wisconsin. appreciate the follows, appreciate the support, but absolutely contact your own state reps and state senators while you're at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Senator Larson. That was State Senator Chris Larson. This is Town Call. If you'd like to participate in tomorrow's forum, or Wednesday's forum, or Thursday or Friday's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We would love to have you. I'm William Walter. He's Luke Mathers. That's Aaron on the board. Any parting thoughts for today, gentlemen?
If you've got any suggestions for a topic you'd like to hear covered here on Town Calls, shoot us an email, towncall@civicmedia.us. That's towncall@civicmedia.us.
Or hit us up on Twitter @TownCallWI. We can be found on Facebook. Anywhere social media is found, we will be there. We'd love to have you join the forum. This is Town Call. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Talk to you then. I'm going to go celebrate my win. If I could just-